This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
A Northern California accent, if you will. Although when we travel, I'm sure you've gotten this a lot. Maybe not us because we're big sports heads. But people seem to think we talk very slow.
No.
When we go other places.
Everyone thinks that I was from
don't get that. Yeah. So but like if Carter, yeah. If you will, if he travels and you're like in the East Coast, like, yeah. Like, why do you speak so slowly? I was like, you mean like normal? Like, yeah, that's what we do. So
I've gotten a lot of, are you from Hell's Kitchen? It's like on the West Coast. Hell yeah, that's what Excelsior is.
Oh, Gordon
Hell's
Ramsay.
Kitchen in San Francisco, baby. Let's go.
There you go. 888-957-9570.
Like Gordon Ramsay out here.
Do you agree? Thank you. Do you agree with what Sion had to say right there? The Warriors have like three of the four best players in this series.
I think we're sleeping on the impact of Randall and Gobert. And then I want to see, like, Conley could be an X factor if he's hitting from the outside.
Mm.
You know, he is a very timely player. He's a smart player. He's going to stand on that perimeter and hit a lot of clutch threes late in the shot clock. That's kind of what Fred VanVleet did.
Right. Well, who was it talking about? It was one of the callers. It might have been Sion. Like, you know, it might have been Alex in Atlanta, actually. He's like, well, you know.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Minnesota hasn't been very consistent shooting the ball beyond the arc. I was like, well, neither was Fred VanVleet heading into the series. And then as the series went on, guy was unstoppable the last few games. You couldn't stop him at all.
It's a great point.
Right? So someone we're not talking about might step up in the series. And you know what? It might be both ends, right? We're talking about the Warriors and we're talking about the Minnesota. Someone's going to come out of the series on both sides where we both leave like, wow, I just garnered a whole new respect for that player.
I feel like Gobert is a guy that we dismiss, and I just think he's going to be better than... I'm not saying everyone's dismissing him.
I just don't know what to make of him in this series because against the Lakers, like, they didn't have a big to stop him. Like, Jackson Hayes, they didn't even play Jackson Hayes.
But they also didn't isolate him in the pick and roll enough.
They didn't. And I think that showed J.J. Redick as a rookie head coach. He was a little inexperienced. I think it showed his inexperience a lot in that series.
LeBron had six post-ups in that whole series.
Right.
Six post-ups.
Should have had more.
But why is that? Because they didn't get Gobert out on the perimeter,
yep,
and expose him. He was, yep, able to camp out, and so LeBron's not going to post up. And so, yep, that's why, to me, getting Gobert out of the paint opens the paint up for Jimmy Butler.
Right. 888-957-9570 is the number. And speaking of the guy that we're talking about all series, he's going to be the talk of the town. It's going to be Steph and this guy, Anthony Edwards. Is there any secret, Steve Kerr, as he's speaking to the media yesterday, on slowing down Anthony Edwards? Do you have any insight on that, having coached him for Team USA?
The main insight I have is that he's really damn good. So I don't know how that helps us prepare. But yeah, Ant is an amazing player. I love his energy. I love his infectious enthusiasm for the game. He was amazing to coach. And, you know, there's a reason the Wolves are where they are now. You know, it's directly, they've done a great job organizationally and put together a really good roster. Chris has done a fantastic job as coach, but you know they are where they are because Ant is a superstar, and you have to have a guy like that to build a great team, and he's the reason they are where they are.
And that's Steve Kerr, head coach of your Golden State Warriors. And again, I ask the question, when it comes into the series, we don't talk about this enough, I don't think, especially when it comes to basketball, because it's player driven. There's five players on each side. It's not like Major League Baseball. It's not like the NFL. But the coaching matchups matter to me. And I thought Chris Finch was the better coach in round one over J.J. Redick in the Los Angeles Lakers. I think J.J. Redick did some things and he got very stubborn and he leans on his stubbornness and he's a Duke guy and, you know, he thinks he's smarter than you and whatever, what have you. And I thought he overall as a rookie head coach throughout the season, he was pretty good. And he's just easy to poke fun at because he just gets so upset and so angry, right? And so holier than thou. Just getting snippy to the media. But him playing all of his starters in that second half cost him that series. If they were going to get back into that series, they were gassed after it, and they were gassed in that final game five, and Minnesota ended up winning it. I don't think Chris Finch is as good as a head coach as Ime Udoka is.
I think Chris Finch is good.
He is, but I actually come away from that series, and as much as we like to like harp on, I know like Ime Udoka, how you feel about him toting that line, like stepping out on the court, all that stuff. I think he's a really good head coach.
I agree.
I think his players play really hard for him, and I think the X's and O's and what he did in that series, I think that is as much as that Houston Rockets team could have pushed the Golden State Warriors. I don't think the Houston Rockets could have won that series just because I just don't think they have the offense at the end of the day.
Well, I think Ime's blind spot was, if looking back on it, him not playing Jabari Smith because he doesn't think he's tough enough, that's a blind spot. Not every player on the team.
Did he say that?
That's the word that was coming out of the series. As Bonte was talking about it yesterday, that he had talked to some people with Houston, and the word is that Ime doesn't think that. And again, this is just what the rumor mill was.
That's wild.
Well, but if you look at the guys that he really loves, they play a certain kind of way. And it's the way he wants you to play, which is tough and through you. And so every coach has blind spots. You can make an argument. One of Steve's blind spots these last years is his inability to play a big bruiser, right?
Yeah. No, it's a good point.
So every coach is going to have blind spots. No one is perfect. But I would say that that's an area where, I think you needed a little more of that finesse scoring than you're giving credit to.
So heading into this matchup, though, like you look at the remaining head coaches in the Western Conference, like these are the guys probably that you're taking. You're talking about an interim yesterday, by the way, and David Adelman, who's looking all of a sudden, maybe that was the smart move from the Nuggets. Maybe it was.
That team is so
veteran-laden.
The chemistry, yeah. Year over year, they feel pretty, you know, they can kind of control themselves essentially, but I get where you're going.
And then Mark Daigneault over with the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Mark Daigneault could walk in here, shake our hands and tell us who he was.
Yeah, you wouldn't have.
Okay.
Well, I thought he showed his greenness a little bit yesterday. I know he was in the Western Conference semis last year. This is about as far as he's gone, but they were doing, you know, up three foul game with like 10, 12 seconds to go. I was like, you guys got to let them milk the clock a little bit more before you're fouling. It was very odd what they were doing towards that. The Oklahoma City Thunder jobbed that game more than the Denver Nuggets won it. I felt like, I was like, what are you doing? Like Caruso fouling Joker and then, you know, fouling Gordon. It was just very odd, that whole, the whole ending of that game yesterday. So the coaching decisions and X's and O's in this series is going to be very fascinating, that because I think that was a big takeaway from me in that Rocket series, Steve Kerr and Ime Udoka, and how's Chris Finch going to fit into all that in this one?
If Anthony Edwards has an off game, that is the game you absolutely have to steal.
Mm.
Right? And so I'm looking at this and I'm saying, like, can I throw the kitchen sink at him in game one or game two to just throw them off?
Right.
And really stymie them.
Yep.
I don't even know if it's possible, because he does get to the free throw line, because he is so athletic, because when they get out in transition. He is a dynamic finisher, though he it feels like he settles for too many three-pointers.
Right.
But if they can get one of these first two games to be an off night for Anthony Edwards, boy, I would love their chances to steal one in Minnesota. Well,
and I actually view him like I kind of viewed Jalen Brunson yesterday, who wasn't have the greatest game, but then the fourth quarter happened, and then who was taking over the game and hitting the big shots?
You have to close, yes.
Yeah, like who was
There's
in the,
no doubt.
And that's the player that Anthony Edwards is. And I was watching the game. I think it was at the Old Chip, or as Steiny Goo called the cafeteria. What was it, game?
I still don't understand that
joke.
I
know, it's funny. I think it was game four, and it was in Minnesota, and it was the Lakers kind of like coming back, and they were in charge of that game. And then Anthony Edwards wasn't doing a whole hell of a lot until he had the big buckets and getting to the line and getting to the free throw line, putting his head down. And that's another aspect of this, getting to the free throw line. That was what the Rockets were doing ad nauseum. You can't let that happen with the Minnesota Timberwolves. I know they're a much better shooting team.
You brought up the coaching factor. Did anyone open that Reddit post that I sent to the group thread?
No.
Nobody
Reddit
opened it.
Reddit posts are scary, so I don't know. Yeah.
Video of Jimmy Butler basically coaching everyone. It was from the NBC broadcast. I don't know which one everyone watched.
I opened it
when you sent it.
Okay, so was that fascinating to you guys? It was Jimmy Butler basically... I mean, he wasn't yelling at Pods. He was talking to Pods, like obviously demonstratively and like energetically was the way I would probably put it, not demonstratively. And he's like coaching him up. I thought that's the way I viewed it. And then he turned to Steph and Draymond as Steve Kerr's talking. Steve Kerr kind of stops talking and Jimmy's like directing everything that they're going to do. It was everything that I feel like this team is needed, which is a different voice outside of the main three that have been talking for this team ad nauseum, and it's really maybe the only guy in the league that all those three guys would stop and listen to in that moment, in that game, on the road, game seven. I thought the video was, you see it right there.
I just watched it.
Describe it. Describe it.
So it was during a timeout or doing a stoppage of play, and it was Jimmy Butler on the sideline coaching up Brandon Pajemski, and Steve Kerr is kind of just watching around, walking around. He's kind of like walked in between the guys and just let him do his thing. And then all of a sudden, after he's talking to Pods, he's talking to all the guys on the bench, as you were saying, Steph, Jimmy, Draymond,
right?
Everyone. And he's just trying to get them all locked in and tell them what they need to do. It looked like he was like firing them up. Like,
agreed.
Guys, this is it. This is the run. Like, this is what we got to do. This, that, and the other. And it was so refreshing to watch, because when we talk playoff Jimmy, that's what we're talking about.
Yes.
We're talking about the coach on the sideline, the guy that is a two-way player that knows the game. Talking about high IQ, I think coming away from that series, the IQ of Jimmy Butler is something that cannot be understated.
How many mistakes did he make?
Dude, how many turnovers did he have in the series? Like one or two?
I mean, not many.
Didn't have any.
Not many.
That's the guy you want. With the game on the line, you want him in your huddle. Absolutely. And by the way, yeah, then you got Steph Curry out there hitting the shots. Yeah, I feel whole of a hell of a lot better. And talking about team IQ at the end of the day, when it comes to the combination of Draymond and Jimmy, I do think this is the team that has the better team IQ overall, over Anthony Edwards, over Julius Randle, over Mike Conley.
They've got the experience.
They have the experience factor here. Not to say that the Wolves don't have experience.
No, they do.
They were in the Western Conference Finals last year.
Gobert's been there with the Jazz.
Yes.
Conley's been there with the Grizzlies prior.
Yep.
Like these guys have a lot of runway in the playoffs.
Yes, absolutely.
And Anthony Edwards, for as young as he is sneaky, got a lot of experience too.
Yep.
And you can't tell me, I know he didn't play a lot, you can't tell me that the Olympics didn't have a huge impact on his trajectory.
And I'll go prior to that, was that first round series when the Nuggets ended up winning the entire thing. The Wolves gave him a hell of a first round matchup. And Anthony Edwards, I came away from him saying, oh yeah, he's coming. He's going to be a big boy.
We all acknowledge
yes.
And there's no doubt.
He was, what, 20 years old at the time? It was something incredible.
Well, and if you watch that game closely in game seven, I think the recipe is for him. Every three-point shot that you kind of settle for, you're actually giving the Warriors a win. Mm. You need to attack the rim like Amen Thompson did and get at the hoop.
Right.
If I was Chris Finch talking to Anthony Edwards, I'd be like, you see what he's doing? You can do that.
And actually, I was watching Shai Gilgeous-Alexander yesterday with the Oklahoma City Thunder. I was like, man, he could do that even more if he wants to. Just keep attacking. Now, not to say that Aaron Gordon's no slouch and Jokic's a big body, but you want to get those guys in foul trouble. Mm. You want to keep going at them and at them. And I do think, again, as we talk about the Warriors as a perimeter shooting team, and obviously the Rockets are a big defensive just juggernaut, I still think you got to attack them at the rim and keep them honest at times. Go at them at the rim. And Jimmy Butler in game seven, I mean, they were doing that at times. Jan is in Mountain View, wants to join the conversation in regards to Steve Kerr. Jan, good morning.
Good morning.
And you missed my big speech yesterday with Starnie and Guru. Oh. But I'll tell you something. Everybody's talking about, who's the best player? Well, I'll tell you who the best coach is, and that's Steve Kerr. Don't forget that he's led us to 4 championships, and he's the one that put Buddy Hield in there when everybody else was doubting him. And, boy, I like that call that Bonte had unexpectedly when Buddy Hield called in and did the bow, bow, bow. And Kerr is also the one that figured out that zone. I take Buddy Hield as the zone killer. And they want to play zone. We're going to be ready for him. And I want Buddy Hield after every game to do the bow, bow, bow if we end up winning that game. Because, this is the new night for me.
Bow, bow, bow. There you go. That is Jan in Mountain View. Hell of an interview you guys had yesterday with Buddy Hield, by the way.
Everybody keeps talking about Joe Ingles, whether it's online or the text. He didn't even play in the last series. I don't see him anywhere in this last
series.
He's
1,000 years old.
No, but like, was he even on their active roster?
No, he's there. He's there. He was like DNP'd a bunch, I think.
Well, that's my point. He has no recorded statistics.
His biggest role has been playing decoy as Luka in practice.
Are you serious?
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, my God.
So is he on their active playoff roster?
Oh. Yes, he is. He is there. Yes.
He is active. Okay, that's why I'm asking.
Then just, again, Priest said it best.
He's too old.
He is too old. But I do love me some Joe Ingles. There was actually
a moment in time when he was with the Jazz and he took him to the Warriors.
He did. Hey, he's that old guy at the Y, right?
It was just 2021. I remember like, we need a Joe Ingles.
That's Pat Spencer in 10 years, by the way. It's Joe Ingles. That's the same player. I kind of liken him too. You guys laugh, but that was...
Stop it.
Spencer's way more.
No, I see it.
No, but you kind of see what I'm getting at here.
Don't ever disrespect Pat Spencer's lacrosse athleticism and toughness with Joe Ingles.
Whoa, relax. His
fitness level's through the roof.
Talking about accolades, Joe Ingles has done a lot more than Pat Spencer. Hey, does Pat Spencer get run in this series? Jaski, is that a bad sign if Pat Spencer plays tonight?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
I mean, the Warriors are blowing him out.
I want him to headbutt somebody tonight.
You know? Gobert?
That's a joke.
I want him to headbutt someone tonight. Really set the tone. I do, and we got 10 minutes left here. I know you're saying you think this series is going to get chippy. I don't know if it's going to get as chippy as that Rockets series. I don't know. Like, just baked into the equation. Like,
every series Draymond's in, he's going to find somebody to get into it with. Who are we kidding?
There's no Dylan Brooks on this team, though. Like, that's the thing. Dylan Brooks isn't on this team. He's not. Is Anthony Edwards going to be like Dylan Brooks? I don't think so. He's not that guy.
No, it's not Anthony Edwards. It's the others.
Like who? Who's like Jaden McDaniels?
Gobert! Look, Julius Randle. Draymond and Julius have gone, not it's not even close to the Gobert thing, but they've gone back and forth. And Anthony Edwards and Draymond, there's a lot of video circulating online of the two of them during a free throw situation, like going at each other. I mean, it is not suitable for work.
Thank you. Draymond Green, by the way, the whole saga, and we've kind of touched on it, but...
And don't forget, Draymond versus the officials is an ongoing theme.
Draymond versus
the greatest rivalry in sports. Red Sox, Yankees, Duke, North Carolina, Draymond and all officials.
Well, that's another aspect of all this, is the way that they guarded Stephen Curry, the Houston Rockets. I don't anticipate that to be the same level of intensity. Maybe they just don't have the player personnel, and that's just not their style, too. They're going to play hard, and then the Timberwolves are no slouches defensively. I just don't think they're on the level of a Houston Rockets. So I don't think it's going to be as physical. Not saying it's not going to be. But the way that they're guarding Steph in particular, I just don't see them hounding him as much. So I do think Steph overall should have a better series, a more consistent series. But conversely, Anthony Slater brought it up. Like, Anthony Edwards is not Jalen Green. Like, Anthony Edwards is going to knock down his shots. He's not going to be afraid of the moment.
Like, he likes to talk a lot.
He does. And that was the biggest difference. Shout out to Adam Wexler a couple weeks ago, who was the pre and post game on the radio side for the Houston Rockets. He was like, yeah, the series is going to come down to Jalen Green, whether or not he can score. Kind of did. Like, had Jalen Green scored in any other game other than game 2, maybe the Rockets do win that series. He just couldn't score. That's not going to be the case with Minnesota. They're going to be able to score at times just because of the greatness that is Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle. You got to think is going to have some games there that he's going to get his. It's going to come down to the other guys, as it always does. If I can, those two guys can do it. It's what is Jaden McDaniels doing? What is Naz Reid doing?
Naz Reid is probably the most scary guy off their bench, and without a doubt.
Well, yes, but also I'd say Nikhil Alexander-Walker. If he's hitting the three-point ball, that's a problem.
But here's the thing with him.
He's streaky, too.
That's what I was going to say. I can see him being one of two things, either a thorn in our side or unplayable. That's how it is when you're playing against, Steph. There are some guys that I'm going to guard Steph over the top. And then they're just jumping all over the place. And, Steph is big on the misdirection.
Right.
There are some guys that play themselves off the floor.
Right. No,
and
for sure.
Trust me, the Warrior fans know that better than anyone.
And speaking about this series, Nick Friedell joined us 2 hours ago, actually. That was back in 7 o'clock. The show's flown by.